The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Ding, 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 ding.
Don't do it, Bear.
Yes, Master.
See what you've done, Bear.
Oh, good morning, Masononians. Ron Wolfley and Doug Franz, the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages of the morning broadcasting high atop the bell tower. The bell tower, indeed. That is the Auction Community Studios. How you doing this morning, Douglas?
This is how I'm doing.
How many times can Daniel Descalzo keep coming through for the D-backs?
He keeps doing it over and over and over again.
How's that taste, Dave Roberts? How's it turning? Man, how is it turning?
That is clutch right there.
Dave Roberts, when it's all said and done, I thought you're on top of this division.
You know, I love this, Douglas. Yeah, bring the energy. Are you kidding me?
There is a way this game is played. Major League Baseball has a way it's played, Dave Roberts. And just because you stole one base in one playoff series doesn't mean you have any idea what you should be saying. When it's all said and done, we're going to be on top of this division. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
you know what?
Yeah, just go ahead and please, Douglas, temper your enthusiasm right there because it is May 9th.
I'm not saying the Giants or the Rockies might not catch them.
Okay.
I'm not saying that at all.
You're saying the Dodgers will not. You're saying the Dodgers will not catch the Diamondbacks, especially if they go ahead and they beat them tonight.
You said there are 7 nails in a coffin yesterday.
Yes. There are.
Nail 2 was last night. Nail 3 comes tonight.
Wait, no. You're already way ahead of this. Are you kidding me?
No way. No,
what?
No.
You've already driven 2 nails into the coffin? No, there is not.
They do not have the mental strength. The human beings in that dugout do not have the mental strength.
Yeah.
And you know who nailed it? Mark Grace last night. Mark Grace broadcast. He was all over the bottom of the 11th inning. And he declared, he didn't say they're dead.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if Steve Berthiaume threw him under the bus a little bit, but Mark Grace said in the break, they have breaks, in the break after the bottom of the 11th.
Yeah.
Which we were not supposed to hear.
Right.
That the body language of the Dodgers, he could tell the way they ran, the way they left the field, the way they ran onto the field.
Yes.
They were defeated. That they felt like they had enough chances to win, and you could tell it was weighing on them. And it was at that moment that the Diamondbacks score in the top of the 12th.
Yeah.
And if he's, and now Steve Berthiaume brought it up, you know, you made this interesting point in the break. And as soon as you say that, I'm like, uh-oh, what are you? And then he talked about their body language. Grace was all over it. And he said, yeah, the Diamondbacks, this is the time to strike.
Gracie.
You can tell the Dodgers aren't ready for it. And now, here you go, L.A.
Yeah, you know, honestly, just a huge win for the Diamondbacks. And we're going to be talking an awful lot this morning about the Diamondbacks and what transpired right there. But it really was. You could see it. I mean, think about it. In the 10th inning, extra innings, the bottom of the 10th, they had the bases loaded. They had a small village on in the 10th and the 11th and could not seal the deal. And you know, once again, it was the bullpen of the Diamondbacks. Listen, we're going to talk so much about this. But the bullpen, the Diamondbacks bullpen, truly putting the horns into the bull, if you know what I'm talking about. It's just a stunning, amazing transformation that the Diamondbacks have made, especially this past offseason, where the bullpen was surprisingly very, very good last year in 2017. And now all of a sudden, right, everyone was worried about, well, we got some new faces here and who's going to be our closer and is this going to work and how are they going to use Archie Bradley and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, Mike Hazen and the Diamondbacks have built an even better bullpen, apparently. That's hard to believe, just knowing how well they played in 2017.
It just keeps coming. I mean, it just – oh, by the way, right at the beginning.
Swing and a drive to left field. And he has given the Diamondbacks a 2-0 first inning lead. And a heck of a start to this week for A.J. Pollock.
player of the month in April.
The beat goes on.
Player of the week to start off May. This is the entire National League now.
Right, exactly.
And then as you just hear from Greg Schulte, now we start week two.
Yeah.
And this is the, okay, here you go.
Bear, do we have any type of music whatsoever for quote of the morn and the takeaway thereof? Do we have anything?
No.
Do we have
just
a sounder back there, command and control? The quote of the morn and takeaways thereof. We have nothing back there. Is that what you're saying, Bear? Why don't you make a big intro right there? You know what? Here, crack the microphone in. The quote of the morn and takeaways thereof. Winston Churchill, Basinonians. Have you ever heard of Winston Churchill?
Vaguely.
Winston Churchill once said, quote, "The price of greatness is responsibility." Oh, do you feel that this morning right now, wherever you may be, my brothers? The price of greatness is responsibility. Isn't that right?
Say it again.
The price of greatness is responsibility. Isn't that right, Daniel Descalso? Oh my goodness. This guy, you want to talk about somebody that is absolutely on fire. You're talking about Daniel Descalso. In his last 11, 12, 13 games, he has been literally on fire. And he is clutch. Is he not, brothers? Honestly, I'm sitting there thinking about it. The price of greatness is responsibility. He's responsible for a lot of the Diamondbacks' runs as of late.
No.
So was A.J. Pollock.
But at least Goldie got that little double there at the end.
He had
a hard line out here.
Here we go. Goldie actually barreled the ball up.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
I mean,
we're happy
for little Johnny. You know, little Johnny's been striking out for a lot, but now he got a little line drive here.
He's not little Johnny. He's no little Johnny. This is Paul Goldschmidt,
okay,
MVP
little
candidate.
Little
this
Goldie.
Is, no. Little Paulie. No way. This is...
It's May 9th.
Here we go.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories. Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Good morning, Vince. How are you?
Number five.
Oh, that's all we got from you. Number five this morning happens at 1:52 today.
We both have done this throughout our careers. We've always looked at each other and said, where is he on the board? You know, and that's what Arnold and Jack used to do all the time.
At 1:52 today, Phil tees off with Ricky Fowler and Tiger Woods.
Right.
It's Phil and Tiger at the Players, and Phil says, you know what? Since everybody's so hung up on this, why don't we just skip to the finals, winner take all, me versus Tiger?
You know what? Honestly, we'll talk about that later, Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Number four.
For the Who's Got the Biggest Gall Award, I just said gall to make sure that it's still family friendly here. Go marching into your boss's office this morning. Tell him you're not going to work without a raise. And oh, by the way, you just flunked a drug test.
Yeah.
Would you ever be able to do that?
No, I would not.
Mark Ingram can.
I see.
4-game suspension, PEDs, and he still declares he will not partake in anything to do with off-season workouts because he's demanding a new contract.
Bong?
Can you say Camara?
Number three
this morning, highly entertaining. The differences between a Paxton and a Bundy.
Yes.
You have Paxton, who has not lost a game since the eagle landed on him in an opening day. And Paxton throws the first ever Canadian-born player to throw a no-hitter in Canada for the Mariners in Toronto.
What are the odds of that?
It's crazy. There's been one other Canadian no-hitter, but that was, of course, in the States.
Yes.
We've had three no-hitters in three different countries this year, although one of the no-hitters isn't registered into the Hall of Fame because it was a bullpen no-hitter as well. And you have that with Paxton. Now let's go to Dylan Bundy of the Orioles. He became the first human being to ever give up four homers without recording an out. The beginning of the game for the Royals versus Orioles. Infield single, home run, home run, home run.
Yeah.
Walk, walk, home run.
Mm.
He was out in 12 minutes.
It's going to hurt the ERA right there, is it not? He pulled a Blutarski.
It was
did
bad.
He not? 0.0.
Yeah. Infinity for your ERA is never good.
Number two.
Number two is the Suns have a coach. Chris Paul became the first player in NBA history. Think about this. Think about Magic Johnson.
Okay. Magic. Let me write it down.
Think about Bird and Jordan and some of the greats of the game. Bird. Chris Paul became the first player ever to have a 40-point, 10-assist, no-turnover playoff game. Nobody had ever done that.
Yes.
Chris Paul did it last night. He ends the Jazz season. And now that the Utah Jazz season is over, Igor can become the Suns head coach.
The first conference final, I believe, for Chris Paul, ladies and gentlemen.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning is whenever it's the bottom of, or I should say the top in this case, kind of blew it there, got excited. Top of the 12th inning, and you need somebody to do something, we've got him.
Here's the pitch. And a fly ball to deep right field. Kemp goes back, and this one is gone. Daniel Descalzo has done it again. A three-run shot. And the Diamondbacks have got the lead by a score of 8-5.
Four home runs, nine pitchers, and one more victory over the Dodgers. Hey, LA, thanks for handing us the division. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough.
Here we go, Bally. Come on.
Everybody.
There it is, command and control.
And they stay there.
Yeah.
And they say yeah. And they stay there. Because all I do is win, win.
Daniel Descalzo putting the utility into utility infield.
Oh, that is nice right there. It. How does it feel, Basinonians, this morning to have a first place team burying, of course, the Los Angeles Dodgers?
And they stay there.
It does feel like a Cowbell Friday, doesn't it?
It does.
On a Quasimodo Wednesday. Good morning, my brother.
Even Paul's happy.
I mean, it's not just beat LA, it's beat down LA. They won 8 out of 11 against the Dodgers. They have a road record of 11-5, best in the National League in extra innings. They're 3-1. I mean, what metric do you want? It's all you can eat stats this morning.
Oh, you know what? Of course, I love that thing. If you want somebody to calm down, the Rockies are a problem here. All right, the Rockies are a problem. They won again, so it's only a 3.5 game lead, and the Diamondbacks have 6 more home games this year than the Rockies have. And we all know the Rockies usually do well at home.
Yeah, right.
So on the one hand, this has to keep rolling. I mean, this is what's great about what's going on with the Diamondbacks right now is they're being pushed while they're doing this. And they need to keep this train rolling. But if you just if you're still like me, you know, God bless our cute little stepbrother, the Rockies, that and everything that they mean to us in Salt River. Thanks for being roommates and all. And you'll still lose to us in the postseason again. But the Dodgers are still the fear. And to watch that franchise die on the vine is so enjoyable. It is so enjoyable, Dave Roberts. And I'm watching now. It's time to start. And, boy, I can't wait to see Twitter when I say this.
I cannot wait to
see all of the Dodger upset fans that are going to tweet me when I say this. And then I'll never hear from you in September because you don't have the gall to tweet back.
The gall. You're big on gall this morning.
I am. The Dave Roberts clock starts now.
Roberts,
you want to look at us and you want to say, hey, it ends tonight? And you got your 2-game little sweep over the Diamondbacks after
that. Yes.
Okay, your clock as manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers started as soon as Descalzo's bat cracked that ball.
Even though they've had like a dozen critical injuries, you're going to put it on the manager?
If I'm the GM of the LA Dodgers and he wants to talk about the injuries, I'm saying, so what about the D-backs?
Well,
But not nearly as many as the Dodgers. Come on now. Dodgers have twice as many critical injuries as the D-backs.
The truthful one that kills them is at third base. That's the one that hurts. But the Diamondbacks don't have their third baseman. I mean, you go down two starters?
Yeah.
Two starters down here. Hey, Dodgers, two starters down there.
As Doug Lease just continues to get myopic, can I just go ahead and go big picture here, ladies and gentlemen? Can I do this momentarily right here? Right now, I think the Arizona Diamondbacks, they got to be so far into the brain, into the cranium of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
And that's why I blame Dave Roberts put them there.
It's Dave Roberts didn't put them there. They put themselves there. These guys are human beings. These guys going out and competing right now, that's all they've done their whole life. They're professional competitors.
Yeah, but look
at them.
That's
what they do.
Their whole life is they're 23.
They're not playing like this. They're not playing like this because Dave Roberts said what he said. They were playing that way. They were playing even worse before that.
When you've got all of these problems that are going on with the Dodgers and how bad the baseball is that the Dodgers play right now, and then your manager says, don't worry, when it's all said and done, we'll be on top of the division, that is just sweeping everything under the rug. You've got to fix these problems.
You just put you're emphasizing the wrong thing. I really believe that. I think you're putting way too much into what a guy says as opposed to a player going out and playing and competing.
Well, I'll say this. If a team is a reflection of its coach, or in this case, its manager, the D-backs have a lot more guts and have a lot more moxie than the Dodgers. I mean, you have a D-backs team that continually gets contributions and game winners from guys like Descalzo.
How many times can Daniel Descalzo keep coming through for the D-backs?
He keeps doing it over and over and over again.
Three of his four homers this year have come against the Dodgers. And if this is accurate, this year against L.A., he's 9-for-28 with 5 runs, 1 double, 3 triples, and 10 RBIs.
Right, and once again, it's psychologically the Diamondbacks right now. I've played against teams that have just owned us, ladies and gentlemen. Now, listen, I did play on some bad teams. There's no denying that. But I'm telling you right now, you can actually get into somebody else's head, right, when you compete against them, player versus player. And right now, that's where I'm concerned. That's what I look at right now and think, this is great. The fact that the Diamondbacks have got to be so far into the cranium of the Dodger players, not talking about the collective psyche, I'm talking about players right now, the way that they have owned them. And again, Daniel Descalzo, what he did with a 3-run shot in the 12th inning, it's just ripped the heart right out of the Dodgers' beating chest.
I mean, the D-backs blew a 2-run lead. They blew a 3-run lead. They blew the save in the 9th. And then the Dodgers strand 3 runners in the 10th. They strand 2 more runners in the 11th, by the way. How filthy was Yoshi Hirano?
Oh, my gosh. That strikeout by Hirano was... That was, I don't want to say it was the game, because obviously Descalzo was the game, but that strikeout was enormous by Hirano.
I mean, when I watch Hirano... you feel so sorry for the hitters. Literally. I mean, that's how dominant his stuff can be. You realize you got to be a major league hitter to even have a chance against that splitter and some of that breaking stuff he's thrown up there. Just filthy. It's just entertaining to watch. But you go beyond everything in this series and what the D-backs, look, Doug, to your point, if they're a reflection of Torrey Lovello, guess what? They're mentally tougher than the Dodgers. 8 out of 11 this year, especially in every way possible.
Especially last night, because this is what you have to... I like Torrey Lovello a lot. I think he's really good at his job. He made a disastrous decision last night. He made a decision that... it was so... Staying with Zach Godley. It was so bad, you kind of wonder... You knew it was bad. What were you trying to do? I mean, there is no justification for leaving Godley. And if you didn't watch the game closely last night, or you're kind of busy last night, Godley was getting rocked a little bit, and even the outs were hard. That's your sign you got to take him out. Plus, he's batting second in the next inning, and the Dodgers are bringing up 3 mm-hmm. straight lefties against the righty in the next inning. Everything says you got to pull Godley. It made no baseball sense to do that. So sometimes the decisions are so bad, you kind of sit and wonder, okay, what are you trying to get at here? I mean, what are you trying to do, Torrey? And it blew
He's
up in his face.
He's trying to manage a team.
It blew up in his face. It was proven it was a terrible decision. And then you have Boxberger on top of it blow his first save of the season. So everything that should be done to give the Dodgers the game happened. The Diamondbacks won anyway.
No, exactly right. That's why I say continue to focus on the psychological impact of what is happening right now. The Diamondbacks, of course, they played, 35 games, and 11 of those have been against the Dodgers, and they've won 8 of them. think about it right
now. That's the scary thing about, the Rockies are still keeping track. But what's insane about this is if the season ends with the Diamondbacks on top of the division, it'll be Dodgers-related. It'll have a lot to do with the domination of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, they've already played them 11 times. You're now, playing what, 19?
Yeah, you play them 19. Now, granted, if you're the Dodgers, you're going to say, well, okay, when we, it's just to the Diamondbacks' credit, beat them when they're down, and then if the Dodgers get better later, they might help actually the Diamondbacks win the division and beat up on the Rockies and stuff. But I mean, you're watching that team. You're watching the Dodgers. I think they're just so young. This is clearly, to me, the 2016 Arizona Cardinals. That's who they are. We got to Game 7 of the World Series. We're just going to get back there. And you forget, what did you do to get there? That is not the same team. This is an entitled team. I would be scared about them in 2019.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm not scared of the Los Angeles Dodgers at all.
I don't think the Diamondbacks are either.
No, they proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Coming up next from the Auction Community Studios, it was either television gold or the most awkward moment ever. It involves one of the favorite sons of the Valley of the Sun. And if you didn't hear it last night, you will be behind everyone at work when you get there. You must listen to the beatdown between two behemoths. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You could have easily talked me into 4 hours of Diamondbacks coverage today just because of what happened last night.
Diamondbacks.
I mean, phenomenal, exciting. Just living in a city with a good baseball team is so great, especially when you have 110-degree summers. But something happened last night that you can't get to work without.
What was that?
The argument is this, and no... And stick with me because I want to set it up for you so you really know what you're about to hear.
Paint the picture.
But you did not wake up this morning and say, I wonder how that Cavs-Raptors rivalry is going.
Right.
Okay, but you have to know what happened last night because it involves one of our favorite sons.
Okay.
All right. So 10 straight games, Cavaliers have beaten the Raptors playoff games.
Yeah.
And the question becomes, can you out-coach the player that is LeBron James?
Yeah.
That's what's going on in Toronto. The question is basically, do you look at Dwayne Casey and you say, oh my gosh, get over it. It's freaking LeBron James. You can't stop LeBron James.
Yeah.
How is that Dwayne Casey's fault?
Right.
Or there is the argument, clearly they've hit at the ceiling. If you're the number one seed and get swept,
yeah,
you got to make a change.
Yeah,
you
there's
gotta,
no doubt
you got to get somebody else in there to lead.
Yeah, it's so that's starting with the players.
That's what's going on right now in Toronto is... Do you blame Dwayne Casey, or do you say, oh my gosh, get real, it's freaking LeBron?
Yeah, time to redo the roster.
So in game three of this series, he benched DeMar DeRozan. And Shaquille O'Neal's opinion is, if you bench your best player, okay, that is the coach saying, and he didn't say the Suns, but he's basically arguing, DeMar DeRozan can bring it and be one of the greats of the game against the Suns,
yeah.
But where are you against the greats? And quit acting like you're that good of a player if you can't handle this kind of pressure.
Yeah.
And he supports Dwayne Casey for having the guts to bench the best player in game three.
There you go.
Charles Barkley is looking at it and saying, when you're benching your best player, then that undermines your authority with everybody else. Because now they're looking at, oh my gosh, who's in charge here? And that's how the argument starts kind of to begin. So this is Shaq versus Chuck, last night, TNT. And it is such a wake-up call of how quickly this thing goes somewhere. You talk about don't get personal, don't get personal. Oh, they got personal.
Listen, if your best player, you bench your best player.
Why was he benched?
That's not the point.
It is the point.
You don't disrespect your best player.
Listen.
If you don't have a great relationship with your best player, you're never going to win.
That's not true.
He did not.
That's not true.
He did not, well, you, in
that's
your opinion.
True.
No, just because you say something, you're just
that's not true.
Me no,
and,
it's not true.
Me and Pat Riley never saw eye to eye and what happened to my man win. So it's not true what you're saying.
Well, you
it's
had
not true
Dwayne,
what you're saying.
It's not true.
I'm just letting you know what you did.
Was the man on that team.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Don't even start.
It doesn't matter. I was a role player. You're right. But you know what?
That's my point.
That's my point.
I'm saying
with your best player.
You don't know what you're talking about when it comes to championship.
I'm just telling you something.
Stop baby.
Wade can't reach you to that championship. No matter how much you scream, you laugh, that does not make you right. You're wrong in the city.
And that's why you're in the week, because you're a baby. Stop babying these players.
I'm not babying no players.
He don't play. He don't play. He got to sit his ass down. Period.
He got to repair.
He ain't got to repair nothing. He got to stop babying the players. You got baby. That's why you ain't win.
He got to. I didn't have Dwayne. I didn't have Dwayne Wade and Kobe Bryant carry me up and down the court.
So why you not on the fan base? I got three finals MVP, Chuck.
Because you
Google me, Chuck.
Everybody knows you were a great player.
You see that?
Everybody knows you were a great player.
You don't know what you're talking about when it comes to
that.
He
got to
repair
that.
He got to step up and play.
We all didn't have other players carrying us up and down the court. You can yell as much as you want.
I got three finals MVP, Chuck. I mean,
you are a great player.
Thank you.
But you wouldn't have got him if you didn't have Kobe and Dwayne.
I will say.
And then Kenny didn't get to talk when he said, I will say.
First of all, the first thing I think of is these guys, obviously, I mean, they have a great relationship.
They do.
Right? I mean, they have especially a great working relationship right here, right? And at some time, I do wonder whether or not they staged some of this stuff. But that seemed as real as it gets.
That was
right
real.
There,
I mean, they might, when people get confused by the word staging, there are places that actually stage arguments, and that's sad. But there might be a thing where Shaq, they know going into the subject we disagree. And then you say, hey, we're going to go. Just because you know each other well enough to know that you're going to go. But you have no idea where it's going to go once it starts.
Right.
For it to go, you don't know anything about winning championships.
Right.
And the other guy says it was Kobe and D-Wade that carried you to your championships.
Wow.
I got three finals MVPs.
Says, Google me,
Chuck. That was real. Good morning.
You know what? Honestly, though, I look at what Shaq was saying, and again, it's always the player. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. I will continue to say this, and I've said this for over a decade now. The player wins games. You win with players. You do. What you want to talk about, Casey, Coach Casey, and what he did, sitting him down as best player, I understand that. I get it. But you know what? Honestly, that sends a message. And it's still about the players going out and playing and performing. It doesn't matter how they perceive it. It really doesn't. Go out and do your job. I can't stand the thought of not doing your job. Why do players not understand that? It's all about the job. It's not about what anyone else does. It isn't. It's not about what anyone else says or what anyone else believes. It's about you doing your job. It's really simple. It is. Players win games and players make plays.
I hate being in a position to compliment you, but I'm going to compliment you about how wrong you are on this. And the reason why I say that is because I think, and I'm being totally serious for once, I think, and people don't realize this about you, you're a humble man. And therefore, you look at it as, since you were able to do that, that's the way it should be.
No.
And I'm looking at the human nature of so many of the athletes that I see, and then I look at them and say, wow, they do need baby. There are so many players that have to have the coach believe in them, the agent tell them that they're okay, teammates that surround them. They need, a Markieff Morris needs, you guys aren't getting up and cheering for me, so I can't. There are so many like that's why I say players don't make plays unless they feel good. So the manager or the coach has to be the one to put them in that position.
No, what are you going to do? You're going to accept that? Are you kidding me? You're going to accept that? I'll never accept
that. It's wrong that
ever
it's that
will
way.
I accept that.
It should never be that way, but it is.
No, it is not what it is.
It is.
It is not.
But it is.
No, you know, honestly, again, it's the player. Don't give me your bull about, you know what, oh, you've got to have the stars aligned, and you know what, you've got to treat me, you sat me down in front of everybody, and what kind of message does that send? Forget about it. Go out and do your job. That is the only thing you as a player should care about. That is your only responsibility. Do your job. Bill Belichick has got this right. He's got it right. And he wins championships because of it. Do your job and shut it. I don't care what you do after that.
Well, you guys,
players win games.
Bear, you're doing well today. Airtime, you guys are doing well behind the glass. Will you do me a favor and pull that? So every time we hit the clock, we can pull Wolf saying, do your job and shut it. And that way we have it every time at 41.
Time for a freak-a-leak at some point.
Join Burns and Gambo along with Suns players and personalities at Talking Stick Resort Arena on Tuesday afternoon. Watch the NBA draft lottery unfold. Make sure to head to the events page at arizonasports.com to RSVP. Coming up next, things aren't all rosy for the D-backs right now.
There have been some pitches that he's been frustrated back in the dugout because he feels like he should be hitting those pitches.
The Arizona Diamondbacks train can't be stopped. The problem is there's not a lot of players on it. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Okay. We need to set the context when we talk about the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Because are you a positive thinking person or are you a negative thinking person?
I think you know the answer to that as you say that to me. Positive, ladies and gentlemen.
And the reason why I bring this up about the Arizona Diamondbacks is I think if you bury your head in the sand because of the winning and you don't see the problems, you're part of the problem.
Mm.
At the same time, if you are, and this is the flaw of our city, and let's break out of this now. We have a mistake. We have a problem in the great city of Phoenix. And the problem with our city is because we are so scorned by losing, all we do is sit on our hands and wait for the losing to begin. So whenever we have something positive, we wait for it to blow up in our face and then say, see, I told you. It's time to invest your soul into this team. It is time to look at this team and say, okay, I believe in the Diamondbacks.
And they call me melodramatic?
Now, that doesn't mean the problems are not real, okay? The problems are real, but they're still winning despite the problems.
The struggle is real.
And that's what I think too many people are going to wait until like September and then go, wow, hey, the D-backs are good. I'll finally jump on the train.
Yeah.
But this is opposite reaction of people that are acting like the problems aren't real. No. The Goldie thing is real, okay? This has to get fixed. Zach Godley was real. He just gave up 4 earned runs and looked bad. You got 2 pitchers on the DL.
He played to mixed reviews, the Zach Godley band.
Yeah. There are problems, yet does it mean the Diamondbacks are one of the best teams we've seen in this century? Oh, and yes, man. I'm going crazy here. Because how do you keep winning with all these problems?
Right.
Because eventually, don't you think the problems are going to get solved? And now here we really go.
Yeah.
Or is it all smoke and mirrors? And it's because the Dodgers stink and they're about ready to fall off the wagon here when they start playing better teams. Torey Lovello yesterday was on with Burns and Gambo, and let's talk about struggle number one.
It's a combination of things. I think early on there was a lot of and what I termed as hustle, which is also a lot of rushing to the ball, and things were moving quickly with his body, and everything was trying to speed itself up in order to catch up to the ball. We've seen that improve. There's less hustle. There's more balance down through the ball. And as far as him seeing the ball, only he can tell you exactly what his sight lines are. I know that there have been some pitches that he's been frustrated back in the dugout because he feels like he should be hitting those pitches.
The struggle number one is what's going on with Paul Goldschmidt. And let's talk about it knowing it's a great problem to have. We're the best team in the National League and our star isn't performing.
No.
That's a good thing because we know he'll perform, right? I do ask the question.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Do we have a dramatic read ready to go here? Because Doug Lisa right now, honestly, he's down in the weeds. We need to have a little bit of fun right here.
And now, Ron Wolfley's dramatic read.
At Dramatic Read, hashtag Dramatic Read, sponsored by nobody, beloved by everybody. Today's Dramatic Read is read by Dave Roberts. Tonight is the night it turns. Tonight is the night it turns. And it turns and turns and turns. It burns. Joe Boo, it burns. Tonight is the night it burns.
Tonight is the night.
Oh, it burns! Does it not, Dave Roberts?
Dave Roberts is now 3-3 since it turns tonight.
You know, once again,
which is better than they were doing. So I guess he's right. They've improved to a 500 team.
Basinonians, there is a sound that is coming from the series. Of course, the Diamondbacks. This is game number 35. They played the Dodgers 11 times. They've won 8 of those games, and the sound is this. Psychologically, the Diamondbacks are sipping the cerebral fluid from the brains of the Dodgers. Are they not, Dr. Lecter?
Or it sounds like this.
Here's the pitch.
And a fly ball to deep right field. Kemp goes back, and this one is gone. Daniel Descalzo has done it again. A 3-run shot.
That's Joe Boudica. Take fear from bats.
I mean, they're just sucking the brains out of the Dodgers through a straw, Hannibal Lecter. Drinking the milkshake of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Look, Daniel Descalzo, that was more than a 3-run bomb last night.
If you didn't
that
stay
was
up,
a mind bomb.
If you didn't stay up, I totally understand, but the Arizona Diamondbacks and the LA Dodgers leave a small village on the just crazy how many runners were left stranded in the extra innings. First blown save of the year for Boxberger as he gives up a, and of all people, don't give it up to Kiki Hernandez. I can't stand that guy.
Kiki.
Hernandez gets
just
a solo.
Just don't like his name, Kiki.
He gets a solo home run. It started last year.
Sounds
in the
like
postseason.
A dude that has a man bun, doesn't it?
And Hernandez ties it up. So first blown save for Boxberger. So it's 5-5 throughout. And I, you know what? I didn't do this. I owe a recantation. I do owe a recantation over something. I had a little rant earlier this week.
Really?
And I said the phrase. I never want to hear the phrase pinch hitter Alex Avila until the 13th inning.
Oh!
I was very clear. I do not want to hear Alex Avila pinch hitter until the 13th inning.
Yes.
I will now recant. It's acceptable in the 12th.
Okay. You say in jest.
No! He got a single in the 12th first pitch. He walked out there and decided, you know what? Instead of swinging through the baseball every time, I'm actually going to hit the thing.
Yeah.
And he got a base hit in the 12th. So from now on, I was wrong. Alex Avila. Pinch hitter, 12th inning.
You know what, honestly, that's good, Dougley. So I've got a couple of just observations right now I want to get off my chest, okay? I want to get off my chest about the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks and what is going on in this minute two-game series. How about the weepy Rich Hill last night? I'm sorry, Rich. Typically, pitchers don't let the opposition see their angst, their frustration, or their displeasure in any way, shape, or form, right? He was a mess on the mound last night. I could not believe it. Needed an intervention. And you know what? Dave Roberts gave him one after the fourth inning. So that's enough out of you. Listen, he got hit hard, knocked around, and otherwise slapped by the Diamondbacks hitters. And I realize, once again, this is the first game back from the DL since, what, April 14th, I believe, was the last outing for Rich Hill. But, oh my goodness, just please. He was out there just totally weeping in front of everybody.
One baseball bench coach one time, this is about 10 years ago, told me something. It's always stuck with me. Players that throw a fit and a tantrum in the clubhouse or behind the dugout are someone to be feared. That they love the game.
Love that.
And they can't stand
I believe that,
failure. And when they throw their little fits in the dugout, they want everybody else to know they're mad.
Yes. Rich Hill was out there. He wanted everyone to know this is unacceptable. And I get it. There's no way in the world I'm going to sit there and let the Diamondbacks see. Oh, they're getting to me. They're really getting to me right now. I can't even believe what is going on here. And the other observation, Goldie. Of course, he snapped an 0 for 26.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, an 0 for 26, hitting that leadoff double in the top of the 10th.
Even though he stayed
there. Driving into the gap, Paulie. Driving into the gap.
Got an hit a double, leadoff double, and then he stayed there.
All right.
And he stayed there. And he stayed there.
All right. Our hands are up in the air.
No,
exactly.
They didn't go
just
up
go
on
ahead
that
and
one.
Hit that. I mean, honestly,
they
does
didn't
anyone
go up. He's still on second base.
Listen, Goldie, all we do is win. I think you know that, right? Does anyone else wonder what John Ryan Murphy might do if given 400 at-bats on the season? This guy, do you love what you're seeing from the – did you see him behind the plate last night? How many critical balls in the dirt that John Ryan Murphy just swallowed up?
If you didn't see the game, okay, we talk about the offense because it's cool. It's not a walk-off when you're on the road, but it is unbelievably cool to hit a three-run homer as a guy who came into the game as a pinch hitter in his second at-bat. So we spend a lot of time on the offense. But the Dodgers were putting people all over the place on the base paths, and Hirano came in the bottom of the 10th with a pinch runner as a pitcher.
Yoshi.
Stripling is in the game, and Yoshi comes in, and he gets a fly out, has the bases loaded on an intentional walk, and then strikes out Farmer and Utley. And Utley had a legendary at-bat, and the splitters and cutters that were in the dirt that John Ryan Murphy was stopping, they were game-saving plays, never mind the fact that they would have won the game if it was for this that was able to hold up.
Murphy hits a deep drive down the left field line. If it's fair, it's gone, and it is out of here. A two-run homer for John Ryan Murphy.
How about a lot more John Ryan Murphy?
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I'd like to see that, I think. I would like to see that, ladies and gentlemen. What if John
I get
Ryan
the
Mathis
Murphy, Greinke thing.
Yes, absolutely. I understand that as well, right? But, my goodness, eyes of a snake.
Oh, yeah.
Flick the tongue.
Less Avila, more Murph. Join Aaron Maloney in Arizona Sports this Saturday at Volkswagen North Scottsdale from 11 to 1. We'll be giving away D-backs tickets, 311 and the Offspring tickets, and more. Plus, they'll be hosting an Adopt-a-Dog event in conjunction with Halo Animal Rescue with on-site food truck. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for details, and we'll see you tomorrow from 11 to 1 at Volkswagen North Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Coming up next, yesterday we talked about Josh Rosen's all-rookie potential. Something happened that got a little of attention for another Cardinals rookie. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.